up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Oh, I can't remember what they say. They say something and they go like this, but I can't remember what they say. Shoot.
Sure.
I can't remember what they say. Pete will know, maybe.
I thought it was this, but no, that's what they did to the audience.
Nope.
So anyway, Pete, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I can't remember. The only
Do
one
they
I remember.
Say something?
Well, it's I see you. I don't remember how they say it in Navi.
Oh, okay.
I see you.
Okay. Yeah. I see you, Derek.
What, kind of like a
My daughter's hot. Like standing right here. She wants to be.
Hi.
Get her a headset. Get her on.
No, she didn't watch the movie with me.
Oh, well, okay. As a spoiler alert, I bet she wants to watch next week's.
I don't know what next week's is.
You know, you don't, but I bet she's going to want to watch next week's.
She's going to want to watch next week's.
I guarantee
week's.
Okay. It's not what you think.
I thought it was Star Wars Visions.
It is not.
Oh, We switched it up.
I called an audible on this one. So,
okay.
You gotta
Let's finish this one first.
Yes.
Where's Steve?
How you doing tonight?
I'm here.
Yeah, that's about all we can do. Guys, even already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up, including our last two of the season are going to be a whole lot more fun than some of the stuff we've watched lately. So, this week, only because A, it has a sequel coming out, and B, Pete said he liked it in theaters, we are watching Avatar Way of Water. So if you've seen Jaws 2, Jaws 2 and Titanic, you kind of get what's going on with this. So
actually, I would argue if you've seen the first one, you've more or less seen this one.
Yes. But throw Titanic in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Poseidon Adventure, one of the two. Right. So,
Jake, you watch that.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Okay, and for the record, Steve's choosing privileges are back on, because if we suspend one person at a time, Pete's under suspension for
Thanks,
this.
Pete. Yeah.
So, Jake has been there for 14 years. He has four kids and is married. There is a human kid that is living with the Navi that is the son of the general from the first one, because apparently you can't take kids back in hypersleep or something like that, which I thought they did in Mission Space all the time. But right.
Only on the orange side.
Yeah, that's true. So to make a long story short, the Sky People, in other words, the company has come back to completely take over the planet. It's one of those said, no, you're not going to. We're not going to half-ass this. Excuse me. We're not going to do this halfway. We're going to, come back and hit it with everything. Because they had 10 ships in the fleet, and they sent all 10 of them. And all the dead soldiers, including the general from the first one, the Stephen Lang. Stephen Douglas. Well, it's not Stephen Douglas. Have been put there. Their consciousness and their DNA profiles have been put into Navi bodies. So they are like avatars, but they actually are living in the people thing. Kind of like Jake did, but only the government did it, or the company did it. And they are out to hunt him down. And so Jake runs away with his family to the ocean people, away from the forest people, and he runs into not the chief, but basically the head of the group, which played by Kate Winslet.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, that was Kate Winslet was the pregnant.
I did not know that.
Just some of the more Titanic references. Yeah. So.
Don't you remember when she threw the jewel over the ship? You should have recognized. No.
Sorry. De-aging was fantastic on that. But it's all about how they try to fit in with them, and then including like pacifist whales and that looked a whole lot like the rhinos from Star Wars.
Yeah, and then this movie was anti-whaling versus anti-deforestation.
Yes.
But it was pretty much the same humans bad.
Yeah.
Natives good.
And so then the kids get kidnapped and there's a coming of age and one of the kids gets killed trying to make up and get his dad to feel proud of him. And they all end up basically getting away from each other. And the family minus the one son lives together with the son. Oh, the little kid, the human child is the general's son. I don't remember if I said that earlier. And the general's son saves him, but then rejects him and goes to live with.
I thought the general died.
No. No.
And then he gave him.
No, he chokes him unconscious and then he hauls him up.
No. I thought that
the actual general is dead.
Yeah. But they took his DNA and put it into the knob. His
consciousness. So he. The implication is that he knew he had a son, so he must have, even though he wasn't actually in the first movie, he knew he had a son, so he has...
was on the planet, apparently.
Right.
But I thought he was like, oh, you were so-and-so's kid.
No, he was his kid.
Well, right. So this guy knows he's not the original guy. He's a duplicate. I mean, he's a clone in a big blue body, right? So he keeps saying, "You're not my son," because he's not. But in his consciousness, he's probably also thinking he is his son because.
Then why did he give him? Okay, I missed that. That did not translate to me.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, and then they fight at the end and. The son saves the dad and goes in away, and this dad gets taken away by his banshee that he has been riding and goes back with the implication that he will return.
Right.
And Jake decides we can't run anymore. We must fight. And you know, you see the little eyes and that's the movie.
Right.
I'm going to put out two stipulations right now. Can we all agree? A, it was visually impressive.
Yes.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Okay. B, it was too long.
Yes.
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 Okay. Let's with those two stipulations aside, let's get into talking about the movie. Because if we can all agree about those two things, then that lets us get a little bit deeper into the movie.
Okay.
So what about this went swimmingly? And Pete, you were the one who said you saw this in the theaters and liked it. So what for you worked?
Well, I'll say I think it works better in a movie theater where you are able, because I don't know if everybody's like this in a movie. When I'm in a movie, I'm focused. I'm not thinking about other things that I have to do or, you know, I'm like, I'm in this for the movie. And so I think that made the long. Why are you doing that?
Did you watch it in 2D or 3D in the movie theater?
2D. We don't. Like two.
That would make me sick.
Because it was designed to be 3D IMAX. So.
Right. We did not see 3D IMAX. We saw regular D.
Perfect.
I mean, I don't mind 3D. My daughter doesn't like it. So we don't usually go see it. In the theaters, I think the boring stuff is easier to take. As far as what I think worked really well, I thought certain of the actors did a really good job. I think Zoe Saldana playing
She was the older daughter, right?
No, that's the
wife. Mom. She was the
that's
mom.
The wife, yeah. The mom. I think that she, of all the actors, most embraced playing like an alien, that she like acts like an alien more so than just about everything else. You know, and I understand Jake Sully's not an alien, right? He's a human in a alien form. And so his kids would tend to get some of that from him. But like things like all the kids going, bro, bro, all the time really annoyed me, even on first viewing. But I think she embodies that she actually behaves, and her acting really felt like, yeah, this is an intelligent creature of another planet. And then the other one I want to point out is the kid Spider, who I think he spent the entire movie in a helmet and a loincloth acting against either nothing or people with dots all over them. And like he was the only one actually like physically having to like be present and everything like that. I thought he did a really good job with the role for, you know, I don't know what his age was. He was probably supposed to be like 15 or 16. I'm guessing he was 16. Probably actually, yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing 16. He was probably actually a little older, but I thought that
not really. No, he would have been 18 when this came out. He was born in 04. So he would have been 18 came out. So he was about 16 when they filmed it.
So, yeah. So I think he did a really good job in that role. It wasn't a particularly interesting role, but I thought he did a really good job with it. So I thought of the acting, that was those were the characters that I thought did the best with what I think is a very difficult acting job to portray emotions and everything through the CGI. So, Steve, what about you?
The highlight of the movie for me was sort of the blink and you missed it when the one center whale creature, it was mentioned that he had lost a Mithin in the prior battle in the past.
Right.
And later in the movie, the harpoon guy loses his arm. Like a quick blink and you miss it, sort of ironic thing. So I thought that was sort of clever. I went, oh, okay. Because I turned to my other half when that was happening, going, he's going to lose his arm. He goes, what? I'm going, the whale lost his fin a while back, so he's going to lose his arm. And sure enough, the arm goes flat.
But I think that guy just plain old, I mean, he lost his arm, but then he just plain old died.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But that was probably a highlight. I mean, I don't have much nice to say about it.
That's fair.
I slogged through it.
For me, what I thought was really impressive is the underwater photography was actually shot underwater because they actually all had to train in like extended breath holding. Like Kate Winslet set the record for longest breath holding on a movie set, 7 minutes. So
she beat Tom Cruise on one of those Mission Impossible ones.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought that was very impressive because that takes a lot of time to master.
Uh-huh.
Because you to have those deep breaths and then still be able to act and fight and run away from water as the ship's sinking. Oh, wait, that was, never mind. They were above it, but still, I mean, it's just the underwater stuff that they actually filmed it all underwater, I thought was very impressive. Kate, anything to add?
No. So I was looking up because I wanted to see who played Kiri, because Kiri was one of the characters I was really impressed with. And it says Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, Sigourney Weaver played because she was Sigourney Weaver's daughter and they had Sigourney Weaver play her.
And she did most of her own stunts.
I would not have guessed that. And I was really, really impressed. I was impressed with a lot of the acting, partly because I know that this cannot be easy to film with everyone with dots on their faces and keeping, like, it's kind of like how you know certain Marvel things cannot be easy to film because so much of it is CGI that, like, like Rocket Raccoon was like a guy in a, it's just, so I was impressed, though this may not have been a movie I would have picked to watch. I was very impressed with how well the acting read and came out. There was one of the water people. It was a girl. I can't remember her name. Excuse me.
The one that was in love with the second brother?
I think so. She was really good. And I actually thought, just looking at the face, I thought it was the girl who played Ariel, Hallie, in the live action Little Mermaid. What is her name?
Hallie Bailey?
Was it Hallie Bailey?
I know it's close to Halle Berry, but it's not.
Right. I actually thought it was her when I was watching. I was like, I wonder if she, like, man, this looks just like her. But yeah, I mean, you guys took a lot of mine. I was going to say Spider, I thought, did a really good job. I was impressed with, and I mean, visually, this movie is beautiful. So.
All right. Saraya.
Okay.
Saraya was the name of the girl, and it's Bailey Bass.
Yeah, she did great.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say they did, one thing that'll help the next movie is actually they filmed 2 and 3 at the same time. So when it rolls right in, the kids and everyone are going to look the same. So that will help as it goes on.
Gotcha.
But if that's what went swimmingly, I'm going to limit everyone to one thing here to start. What about it was all wet? What bothered you the most?
And we're not allowed to say time.
And we're not allowed to say how long it was. Yeah. Because again, we all agreed it was way too long. So
I think you should start with Pete on this one.
Pete has requested to go last.
I have one, but it's long. Yeah.
Okay. Steve, you want to let Kate go first and we'll just go backwards?
No, Steve goes first.
Okay. Steve goes first.
If I could go one, I'm going to go with, I don't think James Cameron should be telling this story. I think the if it's talking about a native population being overtaken by outsiders, it's not his story to tell. So it's a white person telling a story that he probably has no business telling. I think that's my biggest thing. Okay. I have other things, but that's
I like that. I didn't even think about that. I think
that's
the thing
that bothers me probably the most.
Okay, Kate, what bothered you the most about this? And then I'll go, then Pete goes.
I know, like, but I don't know if this is just a me thing. I find it hard to follow. And I felt this way in the first movie, too. I tended to get really confused. And I don't know why. I don't know if this is just a me thing. I feel like a lot of things are implied and not kind of like pointed out. And so I know I felt this way in the first movie. I just find it hard to follow like even when I was messaging you guys and I was like, wait a minute. I thought if they were in the lab, then they were just humans. And like, I had a lot of confused. Kate came out hard. And again, that could just be a me problem, but I just find this movie hard to follow. So, all right, Eric.
The biggest thing that bothered me, and this bothers me in a lot of sequels, come up with a new villain. I don't want to see the same villain. If he dies in the first movie, let him stay dead. I mean, if it's magical, I mean, Lord of the Rings, whatever. It's magical. It's who cares? But if he's dead, let him stay dead. It's the same problem I had with Palpatine in Star Wars 9. It's the same problem I have in a lot of other movies where, you know, they kill off some, I mean, look at the Terminator. They kill off and then they come back. And it's, don't give me this. Have more imagination than just to have the same villain, because he's going to be the same villain in the trailer. He comes back in 3 as the same villain with the fire people.
Right.
And so,
well, I mean, he was alive at the end of this one. So, yeah, expect that. Yeah.
But it's just have some imagination. Give your audience some intelligence that they can handle more than one villain. Now, as a Ghostbusters fan, I understand that was, you know, that is the one thing I honestly didn't like about Afterlife, Ghostbusters Afterlife, was that I didn't really like that. Okay, I get why they had the same villain from Zool come back from one. I get why. I could have handled a new villain. I would have preferred a new villain. You beat somebody, they're beaten. There has to be more than one person that wants you dead. Have the son come back and want revenge for his dad. Have it be the general comes in and the death has caused so much uproar on the earth that they send their finest to come hunt him down. Whatever. Just don't give me the same villain.
I really thought Spider was going to go back, that they were going to take Spider back with
them. Oh, no way. Not as much. I didn't, as much as they telegraphed him, you know, wanting to be, you know, when I have blue paint on, I can go faster and all that kind of stuff. I saw him completely going native.
Mm.
So, okay, Pete, what was your issues?
So, it's in the same realm of you guys, but it is different. So, one of the tenets of screenwriting, especially in fantasy, is that fantasy, science fiction, that type of thing, you want to have a audience surrogate in the story. And almost all science fiction does this. You have Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. You have Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Is, you know, that's a character that right from the beginning we sympathize. Oh, it's a normal person. And even the first movie did this with Jake Scully. He was the human that we were supposed to sympathize with. They took this movie and they, you know, and another one I thought of was like even James Cameron, Rose and Jack in Titanic. Titanic's a 3-hour plus movie, but it holds your attention because you spend time caring about these two characters that the audience relates to. And that part of that movie being so popular is women loved it too, because there was a woman that they could relate to, which a lot of cinema historically, the main character is a male character, which is great for the men, but not always great for the women. This movie, there's no one in this movie that the audience really connect with or cares about. And I know they're trying to do that. They can't really do it with Jake, even though he was the one from the first movie and he's the narrator. He's not even really the main character of the story. It's really about the kids. I mean, he's there, but it's really about, you know, it's really, I think if it was about anybody, it's about the second son trying to live up to his older brother and then the Sigourney Weaver daughter who is connected
Kiri,
who's connected to Gaia. But like, you can't, because they're alien, I think doesn't help, but you never really connect with them. The closest that you would come to an audience surrogate is Spider, but they shuffle him off for most of the movie to the B plot. And so even, you know, so you maybe connect with him a little bit, but he's not really main to the story. So you're watching stuff happening and you're getting these characters and everything like this, but you just never connect to any of it. And I think that's what makes a movie like that feel so long, is if you're not connecting to the characters, you're just watching stuff happen. And, you know, so I think that's to me the big flaw of this movie, and I don't know how they would have fixed it. You know, again, it's really hard to do, but you don't need humans to do it. You know, we watched Zootopia last week, and Judy Hopps is that character that's coming into Zootopia and seeing all these amazing stuff and, you know, going through basic training and everything like that, and she's the audience surrogate in that movie. that we connect to and or that we're supposed to connect to and we're supposed to, you know, relate to what she's going through. And this movie doesn't have that. And I think that it makes the movie, it leaves a disconnect in the storytelling that makes the movie kind of boring. I mean, for some people, really boring, but at minimum, kind of boring. And, you know, it relies solely on the wonder of the movie, which for me was enough that the first time I saw it in theaters, I really enjoyed it. But I remember when this came to Disney Plus the first time, we were talking about doing it, and I was like, ah, we just did the first one. I don't think we should do it. You know, and it wasn't until now, 2 years later, even this one, I was like, I don't know if I want to see it again.
It's a really good point. That's a really, really good point.
So I think a lot of you were talking about storytelling, but I think the storytelling is the flaw, but I think that's the biggest missing piece for me that keeps me from connecting to the movie sufficiently to make me want to sit there for 3 hours. I think if you took this movie and made it, I don't like doing this because Derek does it. I think if you took this movie and made it a 2-hour movie, it might be a lot of fun.
You'd still have the same story problem,
but I think you'd have less of an issue with it because, as I said, that middle stretch is really just like, this is all fine and good, but can you move it? Can we move along, please? It's a lot of them, this movie, I feel like, can we move along, please?
You made a good point, though, because the character that I was drawn to was Kiri.
Right.
And she's not in a solid amount of the movie. And that is a really good point. I've never thought about it that way, Pete. Now I'm going to think about that in other movies that I watch. I like that. I like that you pointed out about having a character that you relate to.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the basics of screenwriting is to draw your audience in. You got to connect with the audience, and that's why certain movies connect more with men, and certain movies connect more with women. And you know, so like a lot of times, movies will try to have a male character and a female character, and like get everybody to connect, have somebody to connect with. But yeah, as I mean, you go on and on about screenwriting 101, right? But to me, as I said, and there was barely, I guess another part of that, who was the main character? Huh. I mean,
good question.
General.
Is it Kiri? Look, I wrote his name down. Loak? Was that it?
I mean, I would say the kids.
Right, the kids were the main characters.
But yeah. I say it was sort of torn between Kiri and the younger brother.
Right. But Kate,
they couldn't decide who.
There were huge stretches where Kiri wasn't in it. So, yeah.
Oh, but that part when she's in the water and there's like the gold around her in the water. God, that was so beautiful. The imagery there was just gorgeous.
Oh, hey. So we have confirmed that there is sadly, there are still 3 more sequels to this coming out.
Maybe for the first time, James Cameron came out and he said, well, if this next one doesn't do well enough, I won't make any more.
What's well enough? 1.5 billion instead of 2 billion?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. So Fire and Ash or something like that comes out in a couple weeks. Then there's going to be 2 more coming out in 2030 and 2032 is the idea behind it.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Although
he's never been on time with you do realize this movie here, Way of Water,
2015, right?
Was supposed to come out when they opened Avatar Land.
Yes. Originally. Which is why Flight of Passage has so much water-based stuff.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so. Knowing that there is at least one sequel coming out, what would be a sequel you would watch? What? Because I'm assuming it's going to be the human company is going to be bringing in these fire people that don't like the water people, and there's going to be a big fight in between the two of them. That's what I'm guessing, because let's face it, that's kind of what's been set up.
Wasn't that the second... Didn't you literally just describe the second Black Panther movie? Like,
I'm amazed at you people. Way too much CGI, way too long, very little plot. But you people love Marvel movies?
Yeah, but
not lately.
But he nailed it, though. There's always a character in Marvel that we can relate to.
Always is a strong word, Kate. Always is a very strong word.
I find it, too. But can I go first on this one?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Because what you just described, we've already seen. I don't. And Steve made a very, very good point that if you are going to tell the story of, even if it's fictional, a native group being taken over by white men, that it probably should not be a white man telling that story.
But I will say, most of the actors who played the water people were native, like native Maori and native New Zealanders. So
sure. But, which is good. Yay. We love that. But Steve made a really good point that I hadn't thought about. So.
Okay, but then are you gatekeeping who can tell what story?
Oh, I don't think we should get into this conversation.
You started.
Pretty sure we shouldn't touch this one. You
picked it up.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
We're just going to leave that one alone.
I want to know, is it better or worse when Kevin Costner does it?
Oh, much worse.
Yeah. Fair.
This is Dances with Water.
Fair. I would love to see a female-driven one. I would like to see one where more of the women take the lead. And more, it has a...
What? Jake and the sons get captured and the women have to go rescue them?
Sure. Or the fire people are all women.
They are led by a woman.
I would love to see more strong women be the focus.
Super strong, really tall women warriors. Isn't that the Amazons?
Yeah, sure. Bring them in.
And their two-day delivery.
Let's do it.
Yes.
That's me. Pete, what about you?
Well, I'm just waiting for the last airbender to show up in these things, but...
Yeah, wrong avatar. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd kind of like to see some humans in here somehow, that like somehow it becomes a more human story. I don't know how you do it.
Especially because all the humans are bad guys.
Right. All the humans are bad guys, and the humans that are good guys are almost inconsequential. Like they're in like two scenes and things like
that.
So I'd like to somehow have like good humans as part of the story. I don't know. I don't know what I want. I guess actually, you know what I want? I want to have it be 6 minute long and ride on the back of a banshee while soaring through the things.
Yeah.
Because
you could do.
Oh, you'd pay $25 to see that one.
Right. And I love that one.
Wait, Pete, but you could do one of the Navi wants to go into the human world. Like
that was my idea. My sequel was the Navi's go to Earth. Shattered Earth or whatever's going on with Earth.
Yep.
And try and bring it back from the brink.
Yes.
Oh, so instead of doing Pocahontas, we do Pocahontas 2.
No, you do Wally. Yeah.
Or the Navi just go, okay, we're done with this. We're just going to destroy your Earth. So you stop sending us sky people.
Oh, there's that. No, you again, then that really gets to be Wally. I will be perfectly honest. I don't think there is a sequel I would watch. I don't know how they could change the story for me. This is turning into a purely, this is turning into a really Marvel setup with less plot than most Marvel movies. Yes, I said it. And so I don't see what, again, I think the next one is going to have to be Spider having a crisis of consciousness of, which side am I really on?
I did hear Spider is kind of the main character of the new movie.
But he falls in love with one of the Fire Girls.
Could be.
So, anything else about the movie? I mean,
nope.
I mean, there's something to it because, as I said, it made over $2 billion. So now it cost almost $600 million to make.
Yeah.
But it did make over $2 billion worldwide, and it's especially popular in Asia. So
interesting.
I mean, where they have whaling. So, you know.
Interesting.
Okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Avatar Way of Water, Kate.
Solely based on the beauty in the animation and the CGI, I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, I'm only giving this a 2.5. You know, even though I did enjoy it, to me, it's kind of a one and done movie. And I'll probably do the same thing with Fire and Ash. I will probably go see it in the theaters, but I will also probably be fully supportive of not reviewing it on this show. So
you're part of the problem of going and seeing it in theaters. So if we have 2 more of these, it's your fault.
But what does it matter, Derek? You don't have to see them.
Yeah, I know.
Unless you feel you have to for this, but you know, after rewatching this one, I said I marginally enjoyed it. I don't think I would ever sit through it again. So that's right about where I give 2.5. So Steve,
I'm similar to Keith, but I'm going lower. I'm giving it a 1.5. The half is because even on my 2D TV, it was still visually stunning at times. So 1.5.
Stuff can be pretty. I never want to see this again. It's a 1 for me. I just, there was, as Pete said, there was nothing to connect me to this movie at all. Oh. So puts it in 1.75. That's for a comparison. That's the same place we put Tron Legacy.
Oh, this was better than Tron Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Not according to your rating, it wasn't.
That's fine. I'm wrong sometimes.
Never mind. I could say something, but I could get in a whole lot of trouble. No Disney Plus news this week. Next week, it was originally scheduled to be
Star Wars Visions.
No, it was something. What was going to be before that?
It was going to be Hunchback.
It's going to be Hunchback in Notre Dame. Hunchback in Notre Dame has an anniversary next year, so we're going to push it back a year. It was going to be Star Wars Visions, but, and Pete, we will still get Star Wars Visions Season 3, I promise. It's just something we had a 25th anniversary this year. It's a movie I have never, ever seen any of.
25th anniversary, so
you've never seen it?
No, I have never seen
it. I have no idea what it is.
2000, huh?
Kate, what's the movie?
The Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's
New Groove.
Squeak, squeak, squeaky, squeak, squeak.
Squeaker, squeak, squeaking.
I have never seen it. I've never seen any of this movie.
That shocks me.
Okay.
So, okay. Let's call the predictions now. What's my rating of it going to be?
A 2.5.
Pete?
I'd say about.
Steve?
I'm going to say, I think it might be a 3.
Okay. Hey, that's better than
if I remember. If I remember the movie correctly, I think we might get a 3 from Derek.
For reference, I gave a 3.5 to Fantasia. But other than that, it's been a long time. It's been Lion King 1.5 since I gave anything over a 2.5. So.
Okay.
It's
going to be that 2.5, 3 range. But I think we might get a 3.
With an open mind, and it's going to be a fun movie.
Yeah.
This movie has a very interesting history. There's actually, they never released it because it was a little bit too on behind the scenes negative, but they did a documentary about Sting and Trudy Styler, because Sting, this was supposed to be a more like a Mulan, Pocahontas kind of serious movie. And Sting wrote a bunch of songs for it. And there's like a documentary that they produced about that movie. And I think it's only available on YouTube. The movie that we will be watching is not that movie.
From what I've heard, well, with David Spade as your main character, I mean,
this is definitely a.
Okay, is he better in this or as Flick?
No, Flick was the guy from Kids in the Hall. It wasn't David Spade. It was
Oh no, you're right. It wasn't David Spade. It was the other guy.
Yeah,
him. He was on that radio news program. They also had David Spade on it, but yeah.
Is John Goodman Pacha?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God.
So
yeah, John Goodman. You got Eartha Kitt.
Yes, Eartha Kitt
as the bad guy, and you got Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From it's Seinfeld and Soren.
So Emperor's New Groove is next week. We've only got a couple shows left this season, but we've got a whole bunch of open shows for next season. So if you've got suggestions, please email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere like that. We will answer all of them. We have new shows that come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, we hope you come back and feel better real soon. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you, Cole.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.